As soon as we start talking, we're live, as far as I'm concerned. What I've been doing a lot on the program, guys, is at the beginning of my show, I've been reading this thing that you guys sent me, you know, and I think a lot of it is basically what Dr. Rashid Buttar has been telling people.
But Mark, I have gotten an entirely independent confirmation of all of that from a source out of Italy.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Let's,
a total confirmation of all of it.
Well, let's hold on to that, because the first thing I want to bring up, and then we can talk about your source in Italy, is the phase two lockdown. Because I think it's DeWine, the governor, was already on the TV, and he's talking about we're going to have a harder lockdown, more stringent. And that's exactly what Dr. Buttar said would happen in November.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
and he was on tonight, right, 5:30?
Yeah, DeWine. Yes, exactly. The governor of Ohio, right? I want to get rid of that guy. That guy drives me crazy. Something about him.
Yep. I would love to look into what it takes to recall a governor. That or get him arrested.
Yeah.
he just feels all wrong to me. There's something totally wrong about his energy and his presentation. And first of all, go ahead.
He's a what? He's a Satanist.
DeWine is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Sandy. Hold on to that thought, Eric. Sandy, tell us a little bit about your connection in Italy. Can you tell us a little bit?
He is from Vatican City.
Wow.
A good source. And he actually wrote to President Trump warning him of all of these things.
My goodness. What about, and we talked a little bit about this before, what about the Thanksgiving celebrations in California? And there's all these strange restrictions on those.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
What do you want to know about them?
Well, some of the things you said is like, they got to have it outside. They got to have Thanksgiving outside. Is that ridiculous or what?
It has to be outdoors. People must be seated 6 feet apart, wearing masks. Obviously, they can take their mask down to shove some food in there. They're not supposed to sing or chant. And if they do, it should be in a very quiet, lower than speaking tone voice.
Are they going to try to have these kind of restrictions in other states like Ohio?
I don't know, and I have no idea how they think they're going to enforce it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's very, I can't imagine having to go outside on Thanksgiving and eat outside.
Right. You cannot pass bowls of food from person to person. Everything has to be served from one location, or it all has to be in individual serving sizes.
It's so absurd that it's hard to even comment on this.
It's hard to believe that anybody takes it seriously and is going to try to live like that.
Yeah. Can I put in my two cents?
Please.
Yeah. I'm not trying to criticize anyone, their intelligence, but this whole thing, just like those mandates, talk about inane, insipid, unfounded medically. It is total, complete foolishness. Total foolishness. This This is 100% about satanic tyranny, period.
Yep.
I agree.
It has nothing whatsoever to do with a medical issue. None. And even if it did, that would not give them the right to take away our Bill of Rights.
Exactly. Exactly.
They can't cancel the Bill of Rights for an emergency. No, they cannot do that.
And isn't even, it's an alleged emergency as well, correct?
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, go ahead.
They've committed fraud because they know it's a lie. They have committed fraud, and fraud means that whatever it touches is invalid. Fraud vitiates everything. So,
you know, one important thing I think we discussed, maybe it was last week, we talked about a biochemist, an American biochemist named Carrie Banks Mullis, and he invented the PCR technique.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know you've done more research on that than I have.
I would love to. Thank you for asking. The PCR test, well, the PCR process takes little fragments of what they assume, or, you know, in the best circumstance, they know that the fragments that they're looking for are part of a longer string of a virus, whatever. We'll talk more about viruses too, but you'd get three different little snippets from different parts of the virus that you're searching for in your test. And you have an agent that binds to those things and also binds to something that is phosphorescent, that glows. And then the PCR process, every cycle that you run, it doubles. So if it has found and bound onto any of those particles, every cycle, that will double, and eventually it will become visible. You can see the phosphorescence from the dye markers. Okay, so it's very easy to manipulate the outcome of the test, whether it's going to be negative or positive, by how many cycles you run it. If you run it about 20 cycles, then you have a reasonable chance of knowing whether you actually found those particles or not, and whether it means anything. But if you run them more and more cycles, every single person is going to have those little snippets somewhere in them. They don't have to come from the source that you're assuming that they come from. Plus, in the case of a virus, in order for a virus, and again, it's so complicated because the lies just go deeper and deeper and deeper. There's another level, another level, another level. The bottom level is viruses do not make you sick. Viruses are a naturally occurring phenomenon produced by all living things. So viruses are produced inside us, and they are messengers. But in order for a virus to get into a cell, it has to be wrapped in a protein envelope. So you have to have the entire viral string, and it has to be wrapped in a protein, and that protein directs it to the type of cell that it can enter. And that's why you have coronaviruses that can enter respiratory cells, for example. Okay. Well, the PCR test binds to these markers But you don't know whether it's a whole virus with an envelope. Is it a virus that has a protein in it and therefore could go into a cell? Is it a virus that's been stripped of its protein, so you've got the whole virus but no envelope? Is it a virus that's been attacked by your immune system and chopped into little pieces, but it's found those pieces? You don't know. There's no way to know.
Well,
you don't know what the source of those bits are if you find them.
I remember you had said that Kerry Bank Mullis, the inventor of the PCR process, had stated that the PCR process could not identify a single virus. Is that correct?
He said it could never be used as a diagnostic test, and it would never give you correct information about whether you were, I'm making air quotes here, infected by a virus.
So
it could never give that information.
So if the PCR process could never be used as a diagnostic test, then this guy named Christian Drosten, this German biologist, came along and claimed to do just that. He took this PCR.
Also, they've used the same ruse many times with the PCR test. And when they tried to use it with HIV and AIDS, Kerry Mullis was still around to object vociferously that it could not be used in that way and that they were destroying people's lives by saying, you have HIV, and you can't determine that with this process.
My goodness. So they've already done this before.
Oh, yes.
So why would a guy like, this is something I just ran into. There is a new YouTube that's coming up, and I think it's called NewTube or something like that. I'm sorry, but I should have written that down. But I saw a guy on there who was, and you probably know about this. I know you know about this, Sandy. He was a German guy, a lawyer, and his name was, I think, Reinhold or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's a group of lawyers in Germany now that are trying to sue this Christian Drosten. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
They're suing him for fraud because he knows that the test cannot be used in the way that they're trying to use it. And it goes even beyond that. Like I said, there are just layers and layers and layers. What happened with Drosten was, as soon as word came out of China that they thought they saw and had a new coronavirus, Drosten developed a PCR test using markers from just basic coronavirus on file. It has nothing to do with anything new or novel. He had no new or novel information. He only knew that it was a coronavirus. His test is testing for general coronavirus characteristics. It is not testing for a specific new and novel coronavirus that came out of Wuhan, China.
So is there something like 7 coronaviruses right now? Is that correct?
There are probably a lot more than that, but there are, 7
So when someone tests positive with the PCR test, they just have one of those 7 viruses, or 10, or however many there are. They don't really know that they have COVID-19, correct?
Correct. And in fact, the virus that is supposed to cause COVID-19 has never been isolated and sequenced.
Oh, that's huge. I can't even. That's so. That's almost humorous if it wasn't so sad.
I know.
So, what was that, Eric?
Tell her.
He said, I wish it were funny, but it just can't be.
It's so crazy. It's like some kind of dream. I'm going to wake up. I know I'm going to wake up because this can't be real.
I know. Yeah. I know. We keep saying that. We wish we could wake up from it.
So many things come to my mind. So the long and short of it is no one has been able to isolate this virus. They can't even, they don't even have a picture of it. They don't really know. Can you elaborate on that? Educate us here. What?
Well, there's not a whole lot you can add to that.
Okay.
When you try to pin the CDC down or the WHO or the lab in Wuhan or Dr. Drosten, any of them, they finally get down to, well, we don't have a sample.
They don't have a sample after all this time.
They don't have a sample. And when they collected their samples from Wuhan, so this, when they were originally supposed to be putting this all together and sequencing the virus and all of this, they took fluid from 50 different people and mixed them all together. So they didn't look 50 separate samples and say, look at that, we found this interesting little thing in each of these 50 samples. No, they didn't do that. They collected all of this fluid, threw it all together, and then looked at it.
Well, that's just ridiculous. I mean, what could that accomplish?
Exactly.
It's all a lie.
Oh, okay. It's just so crazy. So the next thing that we also have on the list here on the paper is about the isolation facilities or the concentration camps, which are supposed to be ready by the end of December. Are you hearing any more about that? That seems so outrageous.
Well, I do. I know that Governor DeWine called for all schools, K through 12, and any state-funded colleges or universities to set aside space as isolation.
Oh.
So theoretically, your child could go to school in the morning, and someone at school could decide that they needed to be isolated, and they would just be kept at school. Your child would not return home from school.
Yeah.
So they're going to bring this in a kind of subtle way. We're not going to see thousands of people sent off to these concentration camps. They're going to be people that are isolated because of this, that, or the other thing.
Right. That's how it'll start. Yeah.
I'm kind of flying high. We can come back and dive down into some of this, but I'm flying high a little bit. On this list here, it also talks about universal basic income. This is something that's also coming, this universal basic income, but it's really nothing good, is it?
No, it's not. It is an obvious way to completely control you. If you've got a cashless society and your income is all controlled by the powers that be, and they've got their finger on the switch, they know exactly what you're spending every penny on. If they decide that you broke the law and you owe them a $1,000 fine, it just comes right out of your account without you ever even knowing anything. It's not a good thing.
When the last time we talked face to face was that back in March?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly was.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your personal journey, because I was telling you about this stuff, and how many months have you had to absorb this? Like 6 or 8 months, something like that.
Yep.
So you must have experienced a tremendous cognitive dissonance where you had to take the worldview that you previously had, kind of take big chunks of it, throw it away, and then rebuild it.
Absolutely. That's exactly good description, Mark. That's exactly what's been going on. My head has been spinning, but I have learned so much, and I have finally, although there's still times where I just get really down.
Oh, yeah.
Upset. But for the most part, I have gotten to a place where I know that there is the truth. The truth will be known. It will be shown. And it will shine through. The darkness cannot overcome the light. So
I'm
in a better spot.
Good. Very good. Because I know that this, because I've been through it. And I luckily had years to kind of rebuild my worldview. but we're in the middle of the culmination of all of this stuff that I've been.
Yes.
I want to give you some good news in a kind of that I just found. Okay, you've heard of the Council on Foreign Relations. You've heard of the Bilderberg Group, probably. You've heard of the Illuminati, et cetera, et cetera. There's a group called the Committee of 300. And a guy, a very good guy, you should look up sometime, try to find him on YouTube. His name is Dr. John Colman. Dr. John Colman.
Okay.
And he wrote a book called Conspirators Hierarchy, The Story of the Committee of 300. So there's also this group called the Committee of 300. And one thing that this book says is that our presidents really don't have all the power. We think of the president as the highest authority. He says, this Dr. John Coleman, that it's the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo in our case right now, who really reports directly to the Committee of 300 and to the Bilderberger Group and to the Council on Foreign Relations. So, and then he takes information from these world controlling groups and then takes it to the president. And basically said, here, Mr. President, you know, it's highly suggested that you do X, Y, and Z or A, B, C. Well, mm-hmm. Mike Pompeo was interviewed recently on YouTube. Well, you can watch it on YouTube. He was interviewed like at the White House. And there were these real nasty reporters that were asking him all these questions about Trump and what's going to happen and da, 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 da. And he just said flat out, there will be a second term of the Trump administration.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, flat out. And then he just started talking about how ridiculous all of this is and how ridiculous her question was and how much there's been fraud during this whole election. So that is one little thing you can hold on to.
Very strong feeling about that. At first, it was total shock. I mean, we all knew that they were going to mess with the election, but seeing what I was seeing was just unbelievable. And I did go through a couple of days of shock,
mm-hmm.
but I have a very strong feeling and peace that I do believe Trump will turn it around and get a second term. But it's good, great to hear that from you and from that source.
Yeah, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State. And supposedly he's even the higher authority. So I don't know, but that's what they say. So anyway, that's some good news you can hold on to. There's a book that I read all the time. It's called Might Have Thoughts, and it's written by a guy named Billy Meyer. And he's very, I'll just say he has a lot of wisdom. And one of the things he said, I'll read a little bit of this, and I've been having to think about this a lot. It says, if the human being remains separated from himself by disregarding his inner nature and not forming it such that it conforms with the creational natural laws and recommendations, then he separates himself, so to speak, from his own life. Because as a result of not developing himself higher, he distances himself from real life. That is to say, from his own real self. So just to, in a nutshell, what I think this is saying is we have to take special time under a situation like this to really look at our inner natures and our inner selves and observe yourself. Observe what you're feeling. Observe what you're thinking. And if you're thinking a thought that's unhealthy, just throw it out. Throw it out. Get rid of it before it grows into something like a weed that can really be damaging. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. I hope that helps a little bit. It's helped me. Okay. So we've only got a few minutes left. I don't know where this time went, but this happens. The other thing maybe we can just finish up the show with, since we've only got a few more minutes. I want to keep this to a half an hour. Oh gosh, there's so much to talk about here. There's a COVID there's a COVID-21 that's supposed to be the next virus. I don't know hardly anything about that. If there's anything you remember, please. I mean, they're going to launch another virus on us.
Sure. And like I said, there's no proof that this one exists. And, you know, Mark, you can make up whatever you want and say, okay, the next virus is going to give people headaches and itchy fingers. I mean, you just wait for people to show up who have those symptoms and you go, see, there it is, headache and itchy finger syndrome. You just take a group of symptoms and give it a name.
Well, I'll read through this quickly and then we'll end the show. I just want people to be exposed to this information. We talked about the universal basic income, the new virus that will probably be released, I think, around February of 2029, if it's even a real virus. There'll be a third lockdown that's imposed. Restrictions on interstate and inner city travel until second quarter of 2021. Military checkpoints will be established on the highways. A military presence will be in all cities by 2021. The universal basic income will be operational by second quarter of 2021. I'll be surprised if they can make these dates.
I don't think that's going to happen that fast.
Yeah, I don't either. And I'm hoping that maybe some of this just ain't going to happen, period.
I'm hoping so too, Mark. This is just their game plan. This is their game plan. It doesn't mean it's all going to happen.
And they're talking about a world debt reset programming. All mortgages, loans, credit cards will be erased. Participants forfeit ownership of all private property and assets. I recommend people don't do that, whatever you do.
Right.
They are participants.
There's a video off of the World Economic Forum site, and I mean, everything that comes off of the site just turns your stomach. But this is about, I think it's called, in 2030, you won't own anything and you'll be happy.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
Smiling, young, cool-looking dude. And they say, you know, you won't own anything. Whatever you need, you can rent, and it'll be delivered by drone. You can relocate in an instant because you don't own anything.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
Wow. That is just so bizarre. That's yep. probably, let's, you know, we've gone 32 minutes. Let's keep it there. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to us. And
I really enjoyed it, Mark. And if you want to do it again sometime, I'm game.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sandy. Eric, we'll see you guys later. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Bye.